Blog Talk Radio.
Many theme songs, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media Interview, sponsored by the audiobook edition of Will Eisner's Spirited Life, now available on iTunes and Audible.com, and recorded live on blogtalkradio.com from the new media and American League Baseball capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. As a teenager growing up in North Brunswick, New Jersey, I was one of three guys who organized a loose-knit band of like-minded comic book lovers into a club called the Fans of Central Jersey. We had monthly meetings, published a monthly newsletter, and even sponsored a couple comic book conventions. Through that group, I met a number of people who have remained friends and acquaintances more than 30 years later. One of them is Mark Chiarello, who I remember as an ambitious young guy from nearby Jamesburg, New Jersey. Mark was one of the most reliable contributors of original artwork to the FCJ newsletter. He had a distinctive style even then, and there was no doubt he was motivated to do something special with his talent. Today, Chiarello is the art director for the entire DC Comics universe. He's had a guiding hand over the years in titles such as Batman, Black and White, DC, The New Frontier, The Spirit, and Solo. And he broke new ground in July 2009 with the launch of a 12-issue series called Wednesday Comics, a 16-page weekly that unfolds to a 28-by-20-inch tabloid featuring the individual adventures of Batman, Adam Strange, Metamorpho, the Demon and Catwoman, Commando, Superman, and many more. I always take great pride in hosting old friends on Mr. Media, and today is definitely one of those days. Mark, welcome to Mr. Media.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for having me aboard today.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Actually, we have the day off of work, so the D.C. offices are shut down today, so I'm just enjoying the New Jersey humidity here today.
Man, it's amazing what an interview on Mr. Media can get you. Shut down the whole D.C. office, everybody can go home and listen to you being on the show. That's great.
Well, it's not the real reason. It's anybody familiar with publishing in New York knows that Fridays in the summer you get either a half a day or you get the day off sometimes, so I'm enjoying that.
Now, I'm very familiar with Sunday publishing, Friday hours and summer hours. My agent, by noon, he is out of there.
Yeah.
Well, all right, let me play dumb for a minute. Why Wednesday Comics? Why not Monday Comics? Or how about Super Duper Action Adventure Wet Your Pants Fanboy Comics?
Actually, that's not a bad title. I'm going to write that down and maybe we'll use it sometime. But no, Wednesday Comics, it's easy because we're taking our cue from the old Sunday funnies that you and I read when we were kids. And as any hardcore comic book fan knows, comic books come out on Wednesday, so we switched it up a bit and called it Wednesday Comics.
It's so easy.
It is. The most simple ideas are the best ones, I always like to think.
But now, Mark, let me ask you this. I mean, in all seriousness, word on the street and pretty much everywhere else is that print is dead or dying. So what knucklehead gave you the green light to launch a whole new comics format in this
day and
age?
That would be Paul Levitz. That would be my big boss, Mr. Levitz. Yeah, he once in a while he'll let me do something out of the ordinary. See, I'm the art director at DC, so that's my full-time job. And it is a, it's a wonderful job. I mean, really, it's the best job in comics. I'm the luckiest guy in comics. But once in a while, I'll get the itch to edit something. Or Paul will come to me, or my direct boss, Dan DiDio, will come to me and say, hey, we want you to edit something. You have any ideas? And I'll pitch some wacky ideas, and they'll say no. And the years will go by, and I'll pitch it again, and they'll say no. Then all of a sudden, Paul Levitz will say, hey, let's do that one thing you wanted to do.
Now, did this get the go-ahead? I noticed that Dan DiDio is a writer of one of the storylines in here. Did that have anything to do with this thing getting the green light?
No, actually, it was green lit before I hired him. One thing that's difficult is you have, you know, both at DC and Marvel, at Dark Horse and Image and IDW, have some really talented people editing comics, and some of those people happen to be really good writers, but because oh, you're Dan DiDio, you're the boss of the DC Universe, or you're Mike Carlin, you're the head of the JLA or whatever it is. You know, you don't often get an opportunity to write. And I've liked Dan's writing in the past, and I asked him to come on board, and I was really happy when he said yes.
Wait a minute, back up. Mike Carlin is the head of the Justice League of America? I kind of thought that was the Martian Manhunter or one of those guys.
Well, Mike is indeed a. If you've ever met Mike, he's a he's a superhero in every way imaginable. Hey, he's the guy. He's the guy. What, 20 years ago, who killed Superman and made an awful lot of money for DC Comics. So we still look at Mike as our main superhero.
I gotcha. Now, you know, it's funny. I was looking at the Wednesday Comics edition, and I was thinking, it took me back to something that you're old enough to remember, because I think we're about the same age, something called, I'm going to say it wrong, the Menomonee Falls Gazette. Do you remember that?
You know, I only remember it peripherally. I don't even know that I know what it is, but the name is definitely in my head.
It was very similar in format and shape to what you're doing, only what it reprinted was old daily comic strips, and I think it came out weekly or maybe monthly, and whatever it was, if it was weekly, it took a week's worth, or if it was monthly, it took a month's worth, and it was this tabloid format where it would fold out like Wednesday Comics does, and I have very fond memories of that, because those were, you know, at the time we had no internet in the mid-70s, obviously, you either had the books or the strips in your hand physically, or you had no access to them. And I remember that it reprinted a lot of great stuff that way. So this brought me back fond memories of that.
Yeah, I sort of remember it when you and I were friends back in the, well, a long time ago, 30 years ago.
It was another century.
strips were really. You know, all growing up for me, strips were really humor-based. It was Charlie Brown and Blondie and Wizard of Id and all that stuff. I think you and I sort of missed the really great, great period of strips, the adventure strips, Terry and the Pirates and Prince Valiant and all that really cool stuff. So when we got around to it, it was kind of purely humor-based. And once in a while, you'd see something neat. Like, I was a big Spider-Man fan growing up, and Stan Lee and John Romita Sr., as you recall, did the Spider-Man strip. So I used to clip those out. And that's
Were you getting them from the Daily News?
From the Daily News, the New York Daily News. And, I mean, that's the closest I ever got to a collection was making my own, really.
I still have – this is – I don't know. I'm giving away way too much about myself today. But I still have in the garage a box of old newspapers – and I went through it a couple years ago, and I was shocked to find – my grandfather used to save me the Sunday Daily News when Spider-Man started, and the comics. And I still have, I think, the first couple of weeks of the Sunday Spider-Man comics that Stan Lee did when it started back in the 70s. I was – man, I don't have much from that era. You know, I still have – I bet I still have some of your original drawings somewhere in a box.
Wow.
But – yeah.
Put them on eBay, you'd probably make like 3 cents selling them.
yeah, maybe. But it's a really, you know, people haven't seen this yet. You really need to check this out. I think this is week four now.
Week four is in the shops, yeah. I was just handed week five yesterday in the office.
This is like a throwback to an era that, as you said, I mean, you and I missed. The huge comics where there were action and adventure. And the bonus here is, now in the 40s and the 50s, mostly in the 40s, I think, when this was commonplace, you know, you had all these great artists. So you also had a lot of crappy artists because they were just churning stuff out. Mm-hmm. The thing that Mark has done here and DC has done, the talent that you've assembled here is, it's just amazing. We're looking at Dave Gibbons and Neil Gaiman and Brian Azzarello, Mike Allred, Adam and Joe Kubert. I mean, how on earth do you get all these talented people, I mean, really, really talented people to commit to something at the same time and for something so experimental as this?
Part of me would say, wow, I'm amazed I got all these guys. But, you know, honestly, as an artist myself, I can understand, I can dig the idea of being able to draw this, you know, this large. I mean, you know, the pages are 20 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. And also, you know, a big thing with comics is, again, when we were kids, you'd have artists like John Buscema and Gene Colan and all these guys, Kurt Swan, all these guys, who were built to draw monthly comics. They drew mm-hmm. 12 issues a year, at least. Comic book artists aren't really built that way anymore. It's near impossible to get that much uninterrupted work out of a comic book artist. So when I say to a Brian Stelfreeze or a Paul Pope, hey, do you want to do 12 pages and that's it? They kind of jump at it because they can get in, they can get out, they can try something new, they can draw a character, you know, that they've always wanted to draw without committing to this 180-page graphic novel.
Hmm. Did you have to? I'm going to guess you must have. Did you create some form of dummy of this and pass it around to these guys so they could see what you were envisioning?
Yeah, I did. I did do a comp. I did do a dummy, but it was really. We were talking about Paul Levitz a little while ago. My bosses didn't quite get what I was talking about, what I was pitching. So I did a comp. I did a mock-up of the front page of this thing. And, you know, when I cut apart some comics panels, and I did this comp so they could. And once I showed it to them, they were like, "Oh, okay, we know exactly what you're talking about." And I think when I pitched it to a lot of the writers and artists, they kind of, sort of, didn't really get it. But then when I showed them this thing, immediately they understood what I was pitching.
I imagine a lot of them were like, you know, I don't know where this is going to go, but that looks like something I remember or wish that I could remember and would want to be a part of. I mean, original comic book pages, I haven't seen one in so many years. You know, the original art pages that they work on, are they even in this format, or is this format even bigger than most comic book pages,
this
or
is
it
bigger,
scale?
A regular board, a regular original piece of artwork. Well, just to back up for a second, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, original comic artwork was this big. It was about 20, 22 inches tall. It was really large pages. And then I think in the mid-60s and early 70s, they went to a smaller size, which is much bigger than the actual printed comic book, but it's not quite as big as Wednesday Comics.
Mm. It's very cool. I'm thumbing through it again as we're talking. You don't always get, you know, when you buy a stack of comics, I have to admit I haven't done this as recently as I wish I had, but when you buy a stack of comics, generally you read through one and it's all one style, and then you go to the next one, it's a completely different style, and you know, you can really admire that, but you can't see it as page by page. But here, when you open this up, I mean, you know, you've got Strange Adventures with Paul Pope's doing, and it's opposite Supergirl, which has got this completely different looking Amanda Connor art. I mean, it's just the contrast is tremendous, and it's just very cool. I don't know. I'm blubbering over here. I think I just really like it.
Well, thanks. Yeah, the readers have really tied into that. I think, like a lot of us, I have a very collector mentality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which sprung from my youth and collecting comics and baseball cards and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I love the idea of, well, if you don't like this page, then you might like the next page because it's a completely different style. You know, I guess the ultimate goal was that you would like every single page.
Now, Mark, you're just back from Comic-Con International in San Diego, where I think I understand that you hosted a Wednesday Comics panel. Is that right?
Yeah, it was on Friday, I think. Yeah, Friday. I'm a little bleary-eyed from that con. I don't know if you've ever been, but, man, it's quite an experience.
I have not.
Oh, you should go. I recommend everyone on Earth to go once, and that's all you'll ever need to go, but it's really an incredible experience. I think this is my 24th in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, except for the 1 year I missed my kids. I have twins. They were born a couple years ago, so I missed that year. But, yeah, we had a Wednesday Comics panel. I moderated it, and, you know, I was really struck as we had, the whole room was filled with fans. And, you know, I had a moment where I looked at the gang that was on the stage on the dais, and you know, it was Dave Gibbons and Paul Pope and Mike Allred and Lee Bermejo. And, you know, it was just Jimmy Palmiotti, Amanda Connor. It was really the amount of talent that was up there just knocked me out. It was so cool to see.
Was that the first time that you've led a panel like that?
No, I've done a bunch of them. I really tend to avoid them, avoid moderating them. I'm kind of a quiet guy. I don't like the spotlight. I don't like to be up in front of people, but sometimes that's part of your job. And, you know, when you're, I'm incredibly proud of Wednesday Comics. So that sort of forced me to actually get up there and do it again.
Take a bow. Yeah. What was the in your face fanboy reaction to what you're doing, both at the panel and just as you were going around the convention?
The con really, again, it's such a media extravaganza. It's so pyrotechnic. It's so much information just coming at you. You go to this thing year after year, they tend to blur together. you know, it's the same hotel. It's the same, you know, same convention, same people. It's really a wonderful experience, but it's the same thing every year. It's a little like Groundhog Day, the Bill Murray movie. But really, this year is going to really stand out in my head as the year that Wednesday Comics came out. I had so many fans and readers and professionals and peers come up to me and just thank me for doing this. It was really cool. It was a really wonderful experience.
And now that you're holding a few finished issues in hand, and obviously there's still 8 more to go, is there anything you would have done differently?
Good question. Maybe not. Oddly, maybe not. You sort of, when you come up with a project, you know how it is when you come up with a book that you're going to write or you come up with a project, you can sort of see it in your head. You can sort of visualize the scope of it and the scale of it. But you don't, all the pieces of the puzzle certainly aren't together in your head. Oddly, with Wednesday Comics, I knew exactly what it was going to look like. I knew exactly who was going to work on it and how it would feel. And it came out that way. I'm pretty darn proud of it, actually.
I'm counting. Are there 16 different adventures?
16 pages, 15 adventures. We have, because we have a faux cover, that's on the 16th page.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, because it folds down. And, you know, comic shop owners are a bit of an interesting lot, you know,
let me say it for you. A pain in the ass?
I love them all. Now, I'm actually very good friends with a lot of comic shop owners. They're mostly great people, but if you publish if you put together a publication that is oddly sized, oversized, or a bit thicker than, you know, a bit wider than a regular comic book, they tend to not know what to do with it. They tend to freak out. So that's why I think a big part of Wednesday Comics working is because even though it is 20 inches tall, it folds twice down to the size of a comic book, so you can rack it with all the other comic books.
Right. Now, have you noticed any comic stores that are displaying it open all the way, you know, to the 28x20 size?
Yeah, I've been in a few. Jim Hanley's in Midtown Manhattan always has an issue out front. I think that the more ingenious comic shop owner is doing that because you don't want a reader to sit there and thumb through this big newsprint and unfold it and try to fold it back together. So having one out front makes a lot of sense.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the newsprint, because that was paper stock was something I wanted to ask you about. There was a huge movement probably 20-some years ago to with the comics to going the heavier stock, the glossier stock. It holds up better for collectible purposes. And here we are back in time with newsprint. Now, so when I asked you if there's anything you would have done differently, would you have done that any differently, do you think?
No, not at all. I that's how I saw it. That's what we discussed in the front end. I actually had a couple artists say to me, I definitely will do this, you know, when I pitch it to them. I definitely want to do this as long as it's on newsprint. I really want to be on newsprint. Hmm. And Paul Pope said that, and Mike Allred said that. You know, and there's been a question about the price. You know, it's $3.99, and a couple people have said, gee, that seems a little expensive for a newspaper. You know, a couple of the factors that led to that price was newsprint isn't cheap anymore. It's actually such a rarity that it costs more than the quote unquote nicer paper. You know, all that in conjunction with because these pages are so large, I'm having to pay double rate to all my creators on this. That adds to the you know, the price. And you know, I hate to hear myself say this to an old fan like you, but comic books cost $3.99 now. That's the average price of a comic book. That's just what they cost now.
Well, I actually wondered if you went with the newsprint to get it to a price point where it would reach more people. Because, I mean, if you went glossy, I would think you would have to be more like $5.99.
Yeah, definitely. That's always a problem. You know, it would have been very easy for my bosses, Paul Levitz and Dan DiDio, to say, hey, we have Neil Gaiman. You know, he's a big name in the real world because of Coraline, and his fabulous writing, his phenomenal writing. You know, we have Paul Pope, and we have Dave Gibbons, who just came off the Watchmen movie. We have some big names. We could charge $8 for this thing, and we know we would get it. People would crab about it, but we know we would get it. So I give a lot of credit to Dan for and Bob Wayne, our head of marketing, you know, for keeping the price as low as humanly possible.
So who do you guys envision as the audience for Wednesday Comics? Are you preaching to the choir with this, or is this an attempt to reach out to non-comics readers?
I think because of the dual nature of, you know, guys like us, older guys like us, tend to.
Could you stop saying that, by the way?
I'm just, you know, I'm 50 now and in the middle of a midlife crisis, so I can't stop saying it. You know, I think there's definitely for myself there's the nostalgia aspect of what newspapers used to be. But for a younger audience who really doesn't remember what big tabloid comics used to be, this is sort of a, wow, that's kind of a cool new format. You know, I had somebody ask me the other day, hey, where'd you get such a great idea? And I said, I'm ripping off the 1930s. It's, you know, everything go old is new again. So I think the answer, I think there's a wide audience for regular comic book art readers. I think it covers all of that group. But for non-comic readers, we were very lucky to get the day the very first issue came out, USA Today printed the Superman strip, which really was wonderful. You know, you're always looking to expand your readership, and I think that helped quite a bit. I think that sort of thing helps quite a bit.
I was going to ask you about USA Today. That's an interesting partnership because you can get the, correct me if I'm wrong, but you can get the Superman strip in your weekly Wednesday USA Today, and then the Superman is also online.
Yeah, correct. The very first installment, page one of 12, was actually in the newspaper itself, printed in the newspaper, and then the subsequent 2 through 12 will be online every Wednesday.
Mm.
That was a really cool, you know, anytime you step it. We sort of, you know, if you're in comics, if you're in the comic book world, it's a bit of an odd, insulated sort of job. You know, you talk to comics artists and writers and comics fans. That's sort of your whole life. But when you step outside into the real world, I think people sort of open their eyes quite a bit.
Now, the choice of characters that's represented here takes me back, I think, for the most part, into the 70s, frankly. Who decided which characters? Did the artists and the writers have some choice in that, or did you say, okay, here's the 15 or 16 that we're going to include. Who do you want? How did that all work?
Purely by asking the creators, who do you want to write? Who do you want to draw? I knew that, obviously, we wanted the big guns in there. We wanted Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and The Flash. And we knew people would pick those characters. But, you know, when Mike Allred said, I want to do Metamorpho, I really like Metamorpho, and I know Neil Gaiman has wanted to write Metamorpho, I was really like, okay, whatever you guys want to do. And that's how the Metal Men story got in there. And I sort of, with a few of the guys, I suggested things, like Kyle Baker, who is really, just a brilliant, brilliant artist. I sort of pictured him doing maybe an Arkham Asylum story where you have the Joker and Two-Face and all these Batman villains running around telling jokes, you know, locked in Arkham Asylum. And he was like, well, that's kind of a cool idea, but I want to do a Hawkman story and make it look like Hal Foster artwork. And I sort of, you know, that one day I was a little disappointed that I wasn't going to get what I wanted. But, man, when the pages started showing up, he proved to me he was absolutely right. People really are digging his story.
Mm. And Dave Gibbons on Command Eye, I mean, I love that strip. I mean, that was boy, I hope my memory is not wrong here. That was a Jack Kirby thing creation.
Jack Kirby
way back then.
Yeah.
And
really, Gibbons did a beautiful job, and the artist Ryan Sook is just, I think consistently that's the one that people comment on as just being astoundingly beautiful. Ryan is doing a beautiful, beautiful job.
How long has it been? Command Eye is not currently in print, is it?
No, he doesn't. He hasn't had his own book in a long, long time, but he sort of pops up as the favorite of a lot of artists and writers, like, oh, man, I wish I could do a Commandy series. So that's, you know, again, another reason why Wednesday Comics makes sense is we can have him front and center for a little while.
And was it your idea or was it the Kubert's idea to do Sergeant Rock? I haven't seen Sergeant Rock. I can't remember the last time I saw that.
That was my idea. Yeah, I was playing fanboy a little, and I wanted I wanted to see Joe Kubert draw Sergeant Rock again. And I've chatted with I'm friends with his son Andy and his other son Adam, and I've chatted with them both over the years, and Adam always struck me as a really intelligent guy, and I knew he could be a really good writer if he sat down and did it. So I sort of coerced him into doing that, and he wrote this really great story that his dad is drawing.
Now, there's eight more issues. You've got 4 out of 12 now. Other plans yet for more when this concludes?
There's an awful lot of talk about that. It's nice to be a critical success, but we're also a financial success. The book's selling really well. First issue, I think original orders from comic shops were about 48,000, and Bob Wayne printed 58,000, and we sold out 58, which was really great. And we're going back to press. And, you know, a lot of times the first issue of a comic book will sell really well, and then the acid test is, well, what are issues 2, 3, 4 going to do? And issue 2 sold out pretty much immediately also, which was really cool, which, you know, begs the question, okay, do we do this again? There's talk about it being a summer event every year for the 3 months of summer like this series is. I don't know if I want to edit it. It's been an incredible amount of work. It's been a lot of juggling. You know, you're talking about 15 writers and 15 artists and 15 letterers and 15 colorists. I need a little bit of a vacation after this one.
It's like having your own publishing company for 3 months.
Yeah, and it's something I never wanted to have.
Yeah. So you're not prepared to announce that there's a second round yet officially done?
Not prepared to announce, but don't be surprised if there is. But then, then we're going to have to top ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, who didn't make the cut in terms of characters? Who would you like to see in the second round?
Oh boy, there's a lot of them. There's just a ton of them. I mean, DC's got such great characters. There was a small possibility, and it ended up not happening, that Jerry Robinson, the legendary creator
sure.
of the Joker, was going to write a Joker story for us for Wednesday Comics, and he ended up not doing that, obviously, but that would have been really something. I mean, that would have been really incredibly special. So maybe I can go back to that well.
Well, and I have to say, and I have a you know prejudice here. I would have loved to have seen a Spirit page.
That would have been really neat. Yeah, I edited a book a couple years ago, The Spirit Meets Batman, and phenomenal talent, Darwin Cook, wrote and drew that. Co-wrote it with Jeff Loeb, but drew it. And I'd love to get Darwin to do a Spirit strip for the next one. That would be really neat.
I think everybody would like to see Darwin back on Spirit.
Yeah.
That was an incredible run. Yeah, I think that was the last time you and I communicated was then, because I did the interview for Darwin for spiritedlife.com. Yeah, that would be fun. I mean, since the Spirit started as a newspaper insert in kind of this form, that'd be great.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It really does. But you need, as you know, if you're going to play in Will Eisner's sandbox, man, you have to be pretty damn talented. And there are very few guys who could pull that off. Darwin, certainly being one of them.
Mm. I remember the story that Neil Gaiman told me about Eisner. Eisner really wanted, when they did, Kitchen Sink did The New Adventures of the Spirit years ago, and Eisner really wanted Gaiman, who's in here, doing Metamorpho. He wanted Gaiman to do a Spirit story, and Gaiman said, no, I'm not going to do it. Well, why not? Well, I could never do, I could never do justice in my mind to the Spirit. I couldn't follow you. And Will finally said, "No, come on! I really want you to do it." And they had this long walk in Spain on the beach for like an hour. And finally, Will said, "Come on, I want you to do it." He says, "You should do it because I would like to see you do it."
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, he did. Completely unrelated story, but
yeah. But hey, when the master asks you to do something, you kind of have to do it. I think
kind of hard to say no.
Yeah.
So. Let's just take another minute or two before we wrap up. Tell us a little bit about your real day job as art director of the DC Universe. What exactly do you do day-to-day? What are you involved in?
That's a really tough question because it really is very fluid. It's very liquid. It changes day-to-day. I could be, when we have new projects come up, I sit with the editors and we figure out who can draw a project, or I deal with a lot of young artists, new artists wanting to get into business. There's a million things. I'm in charge of all the covers, what goes on every cover of our comics. Just so many things. One day I could find myself, Dan DiDio might say, hey, we need an ad campaign for this whole new big project we're doing, and I'll sit down and just goof around with that. And one of the really great things about DC, and it's been that way since I've been there for 15 years, which is sort of ironic because I grew up the Marvel nut. I was really the Marvel kid.
Right, but I'm not going to tell anybody that.
No, I wouldn't say that out loud either. although in meetings, everybody makes fun of me because I sit there and doodle Spider-Man all the time, and it's always, oh, Chiarello's drawn Spider-Man again. But one of the great, great things about DC Comics has always been, and this comes purely from Paul Levitz, the way he runs the place, is your job really isn't to be an editor or, a marketing guy. Your job is to be who you are. My job is to be Mark Chiarello, whatever that means. Whatever talents I have are really tapped into. And it's been that way historically when Joe Kubert was there as, you know, as art director and as editor. His job really was to be Joe Kubert. When Archie Goodwin was there, his job was to be Archie Goodwin. And that's really incredibly neat and incredibly affirming that a big corporation can get the best out of you by just asking you to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's really what my job as art director is.
It's not saying you're in, you're out.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. You, we're tired of your art. Get out of
yeah.
here.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody has a shelf life, but no, it's all good.
Wow. Well, folks, listen, you can find is it okay that I say that Mark Chiarello's Wednesday Comics? I mean, you're the guiding guy behind this 12-week.
No, it's DC's Wednesday Comics. It's, you know.
Ah, come on.
It's Neil Gaiman, and it's Joe Kubert, and it's Ben Caldwell drawing Wonder Woman, and it's, you know, all these wonderful guys. You know who's Wednesday Comics? It's really two people's Wednesday Comics.
Okay.
It's Archie Goodwin, and I'm going to get all teary-eyed because Archie's hasn't been around for, passed away a couple years back.
And I'll point out that it's dedicated to Archie on the back page. Go ahead.
Everything I do is. I mean, I was Archie's assistant at Marvel Comics in the 80s, and the greatest editor, the funniest man, the best writer I've ever met, just the best person I've ever met. Everything I do comes from Archie. And, you know, I mean, Archie told me the golden rule of editing. It's hire the very best guys you can get and don't try to tell Mike Mignola how to draw, you know, how to spot his blacks. Don't try to tell Joe Kubert how to draw an army helmet. Those guys know how to do that. Get the best guys you can and just get out of their way. You know, you don't need to put your thumbprint on everything just because it's your job to be the editor. I really miss Archie a great deal, and I'm proud that we could dedicate this Wednesday Comics to him because we rarely do something like that. The other guy is Alex Toth, who was a really good friend for years, and, you know, maybe a name that a lot of non-comics guys don't know, but as far as I'm concerned, the greatest comic book storyteller in the history of the medium. And, you know, you and I will probably get in a discussion about Eisner versus Toth versus Kirby, and that's all fun, but for me, Toth was the guy. And we used to sit around and talk about, he was good friends with Milt Kniff and Noel Sickles, who were really giants, legends in the comic strip world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, again, Alex passed away 2 years ago. I would have loved to have given him a copy of this and said, look, I did this for you.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll say it's Archie Goodwin's and Alex Toth's Wednesday Comics by way of Mark Chiarello.
I'll take that. That's fair.
All right. And, folks, let me remind you that you can find Wednesday Comics at comic book stores and bookstores, I think, probably a bit, pretty much everywhere, or online. You can order it through Amazon.com, or you can get it at MrMedia.com. You can also read the weekly Superman installments at USAtoday.com. And, of course, check out the DC Comics website, of course, DCComics.com. Mark, it is it does my heart good to see you doing so well, and you know, even in middle age, still leading the way. I'm proud to have known you for so many years, and I think it's great. And thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for having me. It's been real fun. We'll talk
All right.
to you soon.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye bye.
Bye bye. And folks, for more interviews with your favorite comics artists and writers, surf over to our main website, www.mrmedia.com. That's where you can listen to my earlier conversations with Patrick McDonald of Mutz, Ray Billingsley of Curtis, Jerry Scott, Rick Kirkman, Jim Borgman, Zitz and Baby Blues, John Rosenberg of Goats, Stephen Pastis of Pearls Before Swine, Mark Tatulli of Leo, Mort Walker, Beetle Bailey, Dennis Kitchen, Drew Friedman, Dave Gibbons, Joe Sinnott, Gene Colan, and many more. And please think about writing an online review of Mr. Media, casting a vote for Mr. Media, or marking Mr. Media as one of your favorites. Whether you listen on Blog Talk Radio, TrueSlant.com, DigitalJournal.com, Vox.com, Podcast Pickle, MediaFly, Blueberry, Zencast, Zimbio, or Odeo. And subscribe to Mr. Media on iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. Just search Mr. Media Interviews from within iTunes and subscribe for free. Or subscribe to Mr. Media's blog on the Amazon Kindle Reader. You can also listen with a piece of string and a tin can in many locations. If you've got an idea for a guest, email me directly at bob@andelman.com. That's A-N-D-E-L-M-A-N. You can also follow me on Facebook or on Twitter, www.twitter.com/andelman. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate when you give up a piece of your day to spend it with us. Thanks for listening, everybody.